You are listening to CJN Speaks. This is the Cut Jib Newsletter Podcast, episode number 4. We are recording live on December 8th, on Wednesday. JJ Sefton here with CBD. Hello, sir.
How are you? It's a lovely cold and frigid day here in suburban New Jersey. I'm really thrilled. I love New Jersey.
Yes, you love it, except for the insane person and people that are running the damn state into the ground. But other than that, yes, it is the Garden State. Why not?
One of the insane gun control measures that's currently in the state legislature is maddening. It requires that guns be locked in a safe or the equivalent, and that the ammunition be locked in a different safe or equivalent.
So
for me to protect my home, I would have to ask the
just thinking the exact same
hold thing. On for 5 minutes while I unlock my safe and then unlock the other safe for the ammo, and then magazines can't be loaded, so the magazine has to be unloaded, so I have to load a magazine first.
Excuse me, do you guys mind waiting here in the living room? I'll make you some coffee and you can have some Danish. If you want, you can also rape my wife and my children while I load the magazine so I can come and confront you. But please, you know, feel free to anything you want. And if you need anything, just give me a shout. Unbelievable. That's insane. Just absolute. Just
it is. It's absolutely insane. But the state is insane. I look around and I see the amount of waste and the amount of corruption and the amount of legal machinations that we have to go through just to protect our rights, which unfortunately is a failing proposition in this state. And as I've said many times, I can't wait to get the hell out of here.
I'm bound for glory myself out of the wonderful land of New York City. I mean, amazing. Bill de Bolshevik is on the way out the door, and he institutes this vaccine mandate for every single business now. And I'm going, great, now you just, I mean, whatever business you didn't destroy, you will now completely crash the economy. And so far, I mean, everyone sort of pins their hopes on Eric Adams. The fact of the matter remains he is a Democrat, and he is, at the very least, a liberal, which is, you know, he's not a Maoist, so I don't think. But, I mean, I'm sort of waiting for this guy to sort of issue
Well, how can you tell the difference at this point?
Well, I mean, liberal to me is someone like, and we've talked about this, I think, is Ed Koch. Ed Koch was many things, but he couldn't have been insane enough to do this. Of course, we'll never know because he's not around and he's not the mayor under these circumstances. But, I mean, this is just total madness. So I'm waiting for Eric Adams to issue a press release that at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Day, 12:00 in 1 second, the executive order from Bill de Blasio is hereby negated and withdrawn. So far, he hasn't said anything. So I hold out no hopes for him. The other part of it is, even if he did want to reverse a lot of this insanity, but whether it's COVID or whether it's, you know, the defund the police insanity or the crime wave, even if he wanted to do that, he still has a city council that is hard, hard, hard left. So he has to deal with them. Well, again, I'm out of here next summer to Wisconsin. So I'm a happy boy.
I'm jealous. My wife has an employee in London who had planned a trip to New York City for Christmas with his two children and his wife. The trip included obviously spending a week in New York City hotels, one or two rooms. Let's see, two Knicks games and a Rangers game. I'm not sure exactly the teams. Yeah. And a couple of theater visits. Now, four people, meals, tickets, tchotchkes, transportation. That's a lot of money, I'm guessing. And since he makes a fair amount of money, I'm guessing that it's a $10,000 or $15,000 loss in New York City because he had to cancel, because his kids are not vaccinated and he's unwilling to vaccinate them, especially since England does not mandate it.
Amazing. I'm actually kind of shocked that they don't do that. But no, we have it now. You've got to, if you come into the state, you have to be shot. So it's just, this is, it's madness. It really is absolute madness. I can't
And of course, we talked about this in the last podcast, but the reality is that the Omicron variant is rapidly taking over from the Delta and the Alpha and whoever the hell else knows what's going on. And it's even more benign. And as far as we know, there have been zero deaths from the Omicron variant.
Worldwide, by the way, yes.
Worldwide, yes.
Nothing.
Sure they're frantically looking for deaths.
Well, but, believe me, if they can't find a death, they'll make a death.
They'll make one up, yeah.
Which is really, most of the statistics, I don't trust them. I don't trust these deaths. I mean, first of all, it's deaths from something as opposed to deaths with something. I mean, and we joke about it. If there's a 10-car pileup and 50 people are killed in a car accident, if someone is found with blood tests and they do an autopsy that he was infected with the virus, they're going to count that as a COVID death. So there you go. This is what we've been reduced to. So
and the reality is that these deaths are primarily in people with significant comorbidities, including obesity.
Yes.
You name it.
Yeah, your
COPD.
Immunocompromised. You're elderly. Yeah. These are the same people who are vulnerable to any kind of a respiratory virus to begin with, and that's what they die from.
Any medical examination of it would have discovered that, but it hasn't been medical in a very, very long time. This is a purely political issue, and it will continue to be a political issue. There is no relief in sight. They are going to continue this until the vast majority of America says enough. And I think that is coming, but it's not coming fast enough.
It is not coming fast enough, and it is for 2 years already. This is the greatest. Initially, it was, and it still is. And people are. It's a psychological weapon. The virus itself was basically, as viruses go, was not necessarily that big of a deal. And I don't mean to minimize the suffering and the death of people who actually had it and who actually got sick from it and who actually did die from it, or however you want to describe it. That's terrible. And let's not forget that many of those deaths were needless, because people like Andrew Cuomo, who I call the Angel of Death, among the other blue state governors, put sick people into nursing homes where you had elderly people who were not infected but were vulnerable, and essentially unleashed a biological warfare weapon on them and wiped out thousands of elderly people for whatever reason, to save on Medicare funds or to whatever. If I want to be ghoulish about it, but that's what they did, and that is the real shame. And we talk about what's his name, the younger Cuomo, Fredo, Chris, being fired because of sexual harassment allegations. Please, had nothing to do with that. It's all because Andrew Cuomo became a political liability because of COVID and because of other things. And now that he's gone, CNN doesn't need Chris Cuomo anymore, who's a complete inept and has no business being on the air. He has no business driving a cab. I don't know what he's qualified to do.
I think it's unfair that we call the younger Cuomo Fredo.
That's true.
I think it's unfair to his brother. I think his brother is just as stupid.
He is just as stupid. But,
By the way, his rationale for putting COVID patients back into the nursing homes and the group homes, I think, is disingenuous. And I think the real reason, obviously, is that he has significant financial connections to the nursing home to the hospital industry. And they paid him more than the nursing homes. So,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's literally. And he'll go unpunished. It's never good. These people will never be unpunished for all their crimes, and that's the real horrible.
You mentioned not trusting the data, and I was thinking about this earlier. The incompetence of the Biden administration. I don't trust anything that they say, but I think it is only in part because of politics. Yes, of course they're lying to us. Psaki is an unbelievable psycho when it comes to lying, and how she says it with a straight face is beyond me. Well, but it's coupled with incompetence. They are unbelievably lousy at what they do. They've hired a bunch of They've hired a bunch of idiots, and they're running the U.S. government into the ground. And let's face it, the U.S. government was never particularly efficient or competent. But compared to the Biden administration, Trump was a genius. Actually, not so far from the truth, because when you think about it, his foreign policy was superb. Job creation was great. Labor participation increased. Unfortunately, politically, he was naive. He was naive and far too trusting.
Well, that's it. His greatest weakness, his greatest strength was his greatest weakness, because he was an outsider. And as we had discussed many times, who could possibly fathom? As you can be as what's the word I'm looking for? You could be as cynical as you want about the nature of government and the nature of society and the nature of people. And we still grew up believing and trusting that things like police and the CIA and the FBI and the courts and the justice system, as flawed as especially that is, and those are, you still have people who were decent people and who would put aside their politics and would do the right thing, whatever the right thing would be, especially in times of the greatest danger to our society. And as we have been now proven beyond any reasonable doubt, all of that's out the window. They proved just the opposite. They proved that they're political animals and it's power for power's sake, and they threw out Donald Trump, and in essence, the millions of people who voted for him, who wanted a change and wanted the change of the trajectory that the country is going in, because it interfered with their plans and their ability to make a buck off of our destruction. So that's where we are, and that's why Trump ultimately failed. It's amazing what he accomplished, which is basically single-handedly did most of these things. And he had people all over the place stabbing him in the back. He had maybe a handful of loyalists with him, such as Mike Flynn, such as Peter Navarro, and maybe one or two other people. But everywhere he turned, even after getting rid of people and having people recommended to him, they stabbed him in the back. And it's horrible. Speaking of Peter Navarro, his book out now about how the whole COVID crisis unfolded in Trump's last year of his first term.
Yes.
And yes, how that unfolded. And he really goes behind the scenes. And it's truly alarming and enraging when you see what people like Steve Mnuchin did to him and a bunch of others in these meetings about totally screwing him over and bamboozling him about the nature of this disease and what should be done. Yeah, people complain about Donald Trump. Well, he should have known this. He should have known that. The guy was, I mean, as someone said, there was no Trump administration. There was only Trump. And so that's, you know, he was damned from the beginning. And again, miracle that he was able to accomplish what he did.
We do have to admit, though, that that was a significant failing.
Yes.
I see people like DeSantis, who is obviously much more capable politically than Donald Trump ever will be or ever was. That's why I am cautiously optimistic that he is going to stab us in the back and he will become president in 2024.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, he is not naive when it comes to the deep state. He understands it. And as I mentioned in the last podcast, he is also far more intelligent, far more nimble than the sclerotic media that is going to be gunning for him.
Very true. Very true. So, but this also raises the question of, let's hereby establish that, okay, America as founded is dead and gone, except we still have these institutions such as the legislature and the judiciary and the bureaucracy still intact, and a political party that is out to, that wants to, if they can, enslave 200 million people, would rather kill them. How does someone, assuming that DeSantis wins the White House outright without the cheat, as well as we get majorities in both houses of Congress, now how do you begin to even reverse anything, or at least to stop the madness that's taking us over the cliff? I can't see how you do that. I can't see how you go forward. And I mean, ideally, if I had a magic wand, I would abolish the entire federal bureaucracy and institute term limits and do all these things that literally get the Ninth and Tenth Amendment back to where it's supposed to be. People talk about, and Mark Levin talks about a convention of states, you know, for the Article 5 convention. And I'm going, well, how do you do this when nobody is to be trusted and everybody's corrupt? And the minute you try to do something like that, you'll be squashed like a bug.
Article 5, I think, is horrendously difficult and extraordinarily dangerous. Just imagine the catastrophe that it could be if we're unlucky. I think that the Constitution needs to be respected without changing it. And someone like DeSantis, well, just recently in Florida, he eased the rules about reporting people who are ignoring the restrictions on vaccine mandates. So he made it easier for you and me to call the state and say, hey, I'm being told I can't work unless I get vaccinated. It's things like that that make me, as I said, cautiously optimistic about him.
Right.
Because he sees where he's going to get the biggest bang for his buck. And things like that really are fantastic.
We talk about institutions that have to change, but how do you change also the fact that you have a very large chunk of the population that does not recognize America as founded or the Constitution as legitimate and wants to destroy it and wants to destroy those of us who revere it? So there's that challenge of reversing course. And I'm assuming that will take, that's a generational thing, if God forbid it's not an actual armed civil war conflict kind of a thing where you actually defeat people in a violent in violent civil war, which I believe me, I'm not itching for. But again, it's how do you change hearts and minds
maybe it's as simple as economic change.
Could be.
Maybe a vibrant and more market-driven economy will gradually change people's hearts and minds. Our economy has not been a true market economy for 150 years. Shifting even slightly toward a more level playing field, and I believe that market economies are perfectly level. Maybe that will begin the sea change that we require. I don't know. I'm guessing.
There's so many different factors and balls in the air, and there's so much corruption, both from a spiritual and moral level on the individual, where these things, you know, are driven from ultimately, from the individual heart and mind, up until the very institutions that were put forth and now are so thoroughly corrupted that you can't trust them. I mean, can't trust a criminal justice system that throws people into jail just simply for protesting, like the January 6th protesters, which hopefully we'll talk about in a minute. And you can't trust people like Anthony Fauci, who just completely talks out of his backside when it comes to masks, no masks, three masks, four boosters, five boosters, forever boosters. How do you change that? So all these things are just a complete and total mess, starting from the individual who has no moral compass thanks to the lack of education and thanks to the destruction of the notion of religion or of a moral or an ethical basis for running one's life and dealing with interpersonal relationships to the very institutions that we trust with our lives. So there you go.
It's incredible. You know, we look at the educational system in the United States, and the lack of morality in it is a direct result of the lack of religion. I'm not suggesting that we have a state religion. I think that's a really bad idea, and so did a bunch of dead white men 240 years ago. But I think that there has to be a religious-based morality taught in this country for us to return to some semblance of a moral and ethical base from which we can create that second republic. Whether that's going to happen, again, I don't know. There are religious schools throughout the United States that teach that. I can't imagine that their enrollment is going down. Certainly the last 2 years has taught even low-information voters that school